Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us on this edition of Trumpet Radio Live on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm. Retailers are hoping to make lots and lots of money during this time of the year. Violence against police, that's also affecting the police over in the UK. More details about that. And young people are becoming old people a lot faster than they should. Kind of a disturbing trend. More details about that and a few other topics today. All that and more on this weekend edition of Trumpet Radio Live.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us on Trumpet Radio Live, this weekend edition on 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, live link at thetrumpet.com. Please follow us on Twitter at kpcgfm, and you can send us any emails you'd like to, comments at kpcg.fm. I'm Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon, and Abraham Blondo with us here today. Everyone survived Thanksgiving. Everyone looking a little fatter.
Well, isn't that the goal?
For some, yes. I should take that back. We're looking as fat as normal. No one looks any fatter than normal. It takes a few days for your body to metabolize.
That's right. Right. That's right.
Well, was it good? Did you guys have a good time?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a little different for me this year, but it was still made the best out of it.
There you go.
Yeah, we were there at the Hilliker's house for about 4 hours, and then my father and I sprinted out the door as soon as they tried to make us do karaoke. So that was our flash exit.
You didn't want to do karaoke, huh?
No, I think it might be one of the worst forms of entertainment ever invented, if not the very worst.
People are really hot or cold about karaoke. Yeah. There are some people that they'll look for any chance to do. I worked with a guy like that who he was the karaoke legend in his own mind anyway. And he any chance there was for karaoke, he'd be all over it. But people usually are hot or cold about it.
I was actually immediately terror-stricken as soon as they tried to make us sing. And there's only like 26 people there, but wow, I was not expecting that sort of reaction even from myself.
Could have broken out some of the old Taylor Swift songs.
Yeah. I remember some old wise man telling me there's only two kinds of people in this world, those who do karaoke and those who don't. So
there you go.
Take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, it's I've done it a couple of times, usually because it was a group thing and I was involved. And mixed reviews. I give it mixed reviews. Depends who was there, how it was going.
I've already promised my wife that I will do it next year. Face my fear.
All right.
So I'm dreading next year.
We could just do it on the radio if you want. I get some background music for you.
That actually would be easier than last night's environment for some reason.
Oh, man. So, well, that sounds interesting. Yeah, we had a good time, too. I've never played the game of cornhole before.
Never even heard of it.
Yeah, it's a big thing, though, in some places. So I played it yesterday for the first time, and I found out I'm terrible at it, but it's kind of addictive. It's kind of a fun game.
Isn't
actually
that the beanbag game?
Yeah, you throw the beanbag
through the hole.
Try to get it through there. Yeah, it seems like it should be simple, but there's a technique to it. So I haven't figured it out, though.
So you don't throw corn, you throw beanbags.
Well, I'm guessing the beanbags had corn in them at some point.
Okay.
I don't know. For those that know, they're just shaking their head like, that guy doesn't know any. He calls himself a cornholer. He doesn't know anything about it.
It's definitely a prime tailgating game.
Yeah.
I see it all over the place in the parking lot outside of like a sports stadium.
Yeah.
They play that all the time.
We should have, I didn't think about it at the time. We should have done it with turkey legs. Drumsticks.
Right.
Tipping it, throw it in the...
What a sad waste of turkey, though.
Throw it in there. So it was a good time. Hopefully, you guys listening online and at 101.3 over the air had a great one as well. Of course, right after Thanksgiving, some people get really excited about shopping, or depressed, I guess, but people do it. Shoppers are hunting for deals. They hit the shops for entertainment as well. This is after what appeared to be a strong turnout for Thanksgiving sales. Some early morning reports indicate that traffic to malls may be slower on Black Friday than last year as retailers spread the deals out throughout the week. So they think it was a decent start, but more people are shopping online, which I think is the new trend.
It's pretty smart. I actually saw this conservative prominent conservative YouTuber who actually made this video. He drove past all these stores with these throngs of people on the outside, and he had a megaphone. He was calling them all zombies and saying that they're going to pay for all these things with their credit because they don't have any money.
Well, that's
pretty bold.
That's a that kills the mood.
Yeah. Well, I used to work at a retail store, so on days like Black Friday or in Canada Boxing Day, we just sit back and watch the mad rush. People squeeze through the front doors and then go sprinting for the TVs or whatever else is on a deal. And it is pretty entertaining to watch that happen. But and nothing bad ever happened at the store I worked at. But sometimes it can get out of hand. So.
Yeah, you know, Boxing Day is a good title for it, a good name for it, because you get into fights sometimes over the shopping.
Right.
I know that's not why they call it Boxing Day, but they should call it for that reason.
Just hand out free boxing gloves to all the shoppers.
You want this deal, and there's 10 yen, there's one item, get in line. We're going to have a boxing match. We'll see who can get this out of here.
Round robin.
Yeah.
If you win, you stay.
Floyd Mayweather gets all the TVs. It's knocking everybody out. Thanksgiving online sales are surging as shoppers stay home. This headline says, they said, we saw one of our strongest days ever online. Brian Cornell, he's a chief executive of discount retailer Target. They're a discount retailer. Oh, interesting. I didn't know that. That's what they claim anyway. The holiday season spanning November and December is crucial for retailers because it can account for as much as 40% of their annual sales. Retailers try to attract shoppers with deep discounts, sometimes as much as 85%. You know what's crazy about that? When they have sales like 80%, you know they're still making money. It just shows you how much things are overinflated.
Mm-hmm.
Or they raise the price the week before. So when it's a deal, they're cutting it back. Not as much as you think as well.
Yeah. I saw a stat a while ago about Nikes and what they actually cost to make and what it costs for like Foot Locker to get them versus what they sell them for.
Exactly.
It was like $15 or something. Those shoes you're going to pay $115 for. They get them for 15 sometimes, if I remember the numbers correctly.
Yeah, especially if there's a professional athlete linked to that specific type of shoe. Maybe that's what makes some shoes so expensive, is because the athlete is expecting a substantial cut of each sale, basically.
Yeah, they pay a lot for the big guys to endorse it. So it is sad, though, when you realize how much things are overpriced. But anyway, they say the more people are doing it online and shopping, that way they can stay home and sit in their pajamas and drink their coffees. And we have a story, Grant, you have a story later about how a lot of the online activity is actually hurting younger people and making them into older people. So we'll get into that too. It's not healthy to be online all the time. You got to be offline sometimes.
Free yourself.
Free yourself. Untether yourself. But they say the National Retail Federation, which has been bullish with projections in the past, expects holiday sales to grow 3.6% this year to $655.8 billion. And they say online discounts are earlier and a lot bigger than last year. So for those that are looking to buy something, maybe online's the way to go. The thing about online is you can look at, you know, if you're looking for, I don't know what it is, a TV or something, you can compare everybody. As opposed to going from one store to the next So that's nicer.
That is why it's confusing to see so many people go to the store in person and basically lose their minds fighting over different items. And people have already died this Black Friday.
That's right. Here are some Drudge Report always likes to put up their season's beatings. that's what they call it. And here are a couple of their headlines. Parking lot dispute leaves one dead at Walmart. One shot dead outside New Jersey Mall. Shoppers fight over towels. Towels.
It's not worth it.
Riot over toilet paper. If it was an emergency.
That wouldn't make sense.
Was it an emergency? Did you need it right then?
Sounds like they're thinking it's the apocalypse already. It's not that desperate.
Well, yeah, I think sometimes people get so kind of whipped up into the idea that everything's a major deal that they're probably fighting over stuff that's really not even on sale.
Exactly.
Probably was something on sale. Have you ever heard of a toilet paper sale? Is that something you would promote?
I don't know.
There was a time at the store I worked at, we had this big toilet paper week where we were selling huge amounts of it. We had this huge like toilet paper pyramid at the front of our store. and people were just taking toilet paper from the pyramid, and I guess it was a big sales promotion that year. It's
really
kind of puzzled me, but I guess the store made a lot of money off of it, though. So,
well, very interesting. I just, I guess it's an essential item, so it'd be good to get a discount. But just, I can't see getting excited about that. You know,
yeah,
it's like being excited about like dish soap or something. It's not fun. TVs are fun. Like,
right.
That stuff's not fun.
Well, that's why all the people are lined up outside the electronics stores. You will hardly see people outside of like Kohl's. In that video I saw, there's hundreds of people outside of Walmart and Target and Best Buy. And then he goes to Kohl's and there's only three people sitting outside.
Right.
It's like people are buying things on credit that are absolute non-necessities.
Right.
TVs, tablets, a new phone, things like that. So clearly they're not there to get a good deal on, you know, their next wardrobe or a new toaster or something like that.
Right. It's not as exciting to buy those things. Speaking of phones and so forth, I was in town yesterday briefly, and there was a young, I don't know, teen, well, late teens, early 20s lady in a car behind me. And I just noticed her in my rearview mirror, and she had her phone up, and she was either singing loudly or talking to somebody. I couldn't tell what she was doing. I kept looking back there. But she didn't stop once we started driving. She just kept on going. So I don't know if she was talking or singing. She was doing something.
Karaoke.
She was practicing for karaoke.
Yeah.
But maybe she went over to your guys' place.
Hopefully she took my spot.
But yeah, usually people are a little more subtle about their cell phone usage in the car, but she had it up in front of it, and it was going crazy with it.
Yeah, yesterday, driving through Edmond and then on the interstate, there was, saw lots of people on their cell phones, and with that new law against, well, it's specifically against texting in Edmond here, it hasn't really stopped people from doing hit or looking down when they're driving or doing other things on their phone, and just a lot of people not stopping at stop signs or just, and especially in parking lots, that's the worst I found, because people are checking their phone when they're parked and then they start driving without putting their phone down first. And just a lot of close calls, in especially in such a tight area.
Yeah, for sure. I think we've all seen that. So it can be pretty dangerous. You know that that story about the Chattanooga bus crash? It gets weirder and weirder. The new report is that the bus driver yelled, "Are you all ready to die?" before he flipped the thing over.
Right.
So they're still finding out more about that guy, but the more that, because, you know, when it first came out and he's, you know, I saw the bus and how badly it was damaged and the fact that people were killed, and I just thought, how could that happen? Like, you either would, the guy would have had to have passed out and like fallen on the gas pedal, you know, it just, or intentionally do it. And it seems like it might have been intentional.
Right. That's what you were saying. You're saying, how fast must this guy have been driving to wrap the bus around a tree? If he did it on purpose, then you can see why. Maybe he did have his pedal to the metal and was going as fast as he could.
What a strange, terrible thing. And apparently, we were talking about why wouldn't more people report it, but I actually have read a couple, well, at least one example where a lady said she did report him a couple of times and nothing was done. So, I mean, there were people saying, this is a problem here with this driver, and yet he continued to drive for the bus company. So, really a weird deal. It's just something I've never really seen before, you know, when intentional. It looked intentional, so I don't know.
The only comparable thing I can think of is when that German pilot crashed the plane into the side of the mountain on purpose.
Oh, right, yeah. Right.
I think that was a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, something like that. That's the only thing I can think of where he just had a lot of depression problems and a lot of other problems, and he just took it on everyone else.
Took it on everybody else.
Who heard the bus driver say that? Was one of the little kids on the bus?
Yeah, they reported it to the parents that that's what he yelled right before they... He did, you know, whatever, made a hard turn and floored it or however he did it, so.
Yeah, and it's unlikely the child would make that up, I think.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so, but more details are coming out about that. A lot of police, violence against police here in the U.S. There's been, what, 5 officers killed in the last week or so in different cities, something like that. On top of the other problems, well, now there's violence against the police in the U.K. They say there's a shocking video shows wild mob of 30 brutal school kids attacking 2 officers. Phone footage obtained by The Sun shows the male officer being wrestled to the ground and his head repeatedly stomped. He was left dazed and staggering as the youths, some in school uniform and looking no older than 12, stepped back before circling the officers again. So pretty crazy deal there.
Hopefully the officers were hitting back.
You know, and
at
that's
all times to do it.
You know, that would be such a difficult thing because they're kids. So
yeah.
You wouldn't want to do that. You'd be afraid of getting in trouble or whatever. But also, it's just there's so many of them. What are you going to do? You know, even if obviously a child couldn't attack an adult substantially, you got 30 of them that get it in their mind to do something like this. I didn't see the details of why they did it. It seemed like they kind of just targeted them and did it for fun. I don't know why else they would have done it. Sick fun, but...
Yeah, I watched the video yesterday, and it is just really disturbing, and it looks like the officers were trying to protect themselves rather than fight back. And, I mean, you can't blame them because you don't want to severely injure a kid, even if they are hurting you. And they're British bobbies, so they don't have weapons. They just have the baton, I think. That's mm-hmm. what they're armed with. So... I did see, at the end of the video, they are taking one of the students away. It looks like the agitator, looks like they were able to single him out. But, interesting. When I was in Israel, we ran into a group of British school kids, who were on a trip there for, I don't know what school or the purpose of it, besides seeing some parts of Israel, and a lot of them were punks. And, that's not true of any British school kid, but a lot of them were. They're disruptive, a lot of bad language. They were just rude to everyone there. And so they do have that reputation in some places. So I'm not too surprised necessarily this happened, but it's shocking when police violence is starting to spread beyond the borders of the U.S.
It's undercutting the rule of law, and that's the fear because, you know, police officer today... You know, me tomorrow. Yeah. And what if you're just going out and shopping or, you know, walking around London or wherever and all of a sudden a bunch of kids came up to you and were giving you the evil eye? Hey, yeah. what are you kids up to? You know, that'd be scary.
Well, hopefully those British police are allowed to wield the baton. Otherwise, why do they have it? I mean, I'd much rather see a brat with a headache than a police officer get stomped to death by 30 people. So you do kind of have to weigh those options.
Yeah, really, really... anti-law kind of spreading to a lot of different nations. Thanksgiving is a day to give thanks, but unfortunately it's also a day where people commit violence. Kentucky football game shooting leaves two dead. Gunfire erupted at an annual Thanksgiving Day football game in Kentucky, leaving two dead and four others wounded, according to the Louisville Metro Police. The shootings shortly before 2 p.m. happened during what locals know as the annual Juice Bowl, which fills Shawnee Park with children and adults for a series of holiday football games. They were streaming it on Facebook Live when somebody started shooting and killed two people. So there you go.
Yeah, that's it's a shame, especially when it's a day of family and one of the few times I think communities get together during the year in such a way. And but there are always people with evil intentions, and it's just a terrible thing that this would happen on a day like this. But I think it does show the state of America pretty well that on national holidays or days where people should be thankful or at peace or spending time doing constructive things, there are a few who just continue on with violence or who just want to take that all away.
It also highlights something else, just the danger and the fear that some people have had of Facebook Live or these other live streaming video sites. Where people are doing crazy things. Like in this case, you wouldn't think there'd be anything bad, and all of a sudden somebody gets murdered. And some people have committed suicide live, other things, and kids can access this and watch these things.
Yeah, and they could easily justify it to their parents by saying it's a young kid as well, just like me, who has similar interests as I do, and then all of a sudden there's a suicide on that same channel. I mean, that'd be something where very young children could see something they weren't expecting.
The danger of live streaming, you know, it's there can be a lot good, but there can be some bad things as well there. You know, the story that we had just we were talking about here with the UK and what happened with the police over there and the young people. We've also seen some things over here in the U.S. where there's flash mobs or there's young people that attack elderly people. And this story says West Virginia man accused of killing a teen who bumped him. William Ronald Pulleyman appeared unrepentant after fatally shooting a teenager during a confrontation outside a West Virginia discount store. He says, "I mean, believe me, I do not want to kill anybody, but they're not going to kill me." So he thought he was threatened, so he killed the guy, 15.
Wow.
And the man that shot is, I think he was in his 60s. And the thing that's interesting to me about this story is that, you know, details are coming out what actually happened there. But from an older person's perspective, I mean, you or anybody's, but even the older people, I guess, especially, they have seen, I've seen a lot of stories where young people go up and they'll just, you know, they have the knockout game, go out and punch somebody in the face or go mm-hmm. do this or that. But the thing is, people are armed sometimes and they're quick to think they have to defend themselves. And you have situations like this.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. They've seen people burning down our cities, and they're almost all very young people. So, and even that instance in one of the riots where the old man told the kids to get off his grass and they said, "You'll be next if you don't shut up and go right back inside." I mean, that was another black man who they were saying that to. So it's just, yeah, it just shows you, I think at first some of these things can be racially motivated, but then if any older person steps in the way, they could get caught by it too.
Well, yeah, lawlessness, it doesn't know any bounds, does it? That's what makes it lawlessness.
Yeah, I think it just shows the reputation of young people in America is very poor, but also that they're not doing themselves a favor where they're just asking for situations like this to happen. And reminds me of when I saw a little earlier this year when Pokemon Go first broke out. Some young teenagers were playing it at a veterans memorial in a cemetery. And they had a hammock there, and they were just walking over the grounds and just playing it.
Yeah.
So a group of veterans came and told them to leave. We're going to force you to leave. And the teenagers were filming it, and the older guys started punching them and breaking their cameras and forcing them to leave. And the veterans got charged, and they weren't repentant for what they did. And you can debate, other people can debate whether that was right or not. But you have this defiance and this attitude where they don't care, and they're... there's just no respect for anyone. And when you do that, you're going to have consequences. And when there are consequences, they usually get away with it, or they're not willing to meet the punishment for what they're doing with society.
Yeah, there is that sort of mentality that they're untouchable. And because I remember that video, and I saw that same one you were talking about, and they were just very much in these older people's face. And, you know, what are you going to do about it?
Well, yeah. I'm just a child. I'm just a child. Yeah. You can't hit me. Yeah, that's just it's a ridiculous way of thinking, but it's kind of been fostered by, you know, everyone in society coddling children until they think they're invincible.
Yeah, it's that's prophesied to happen, right? The young rise up and oppress the elders. The older ones, the elders. Elders is what I was trying to say. The olders. The olders, you know what I mean. You guys ever watch the Brady Bunch?
Oh, yes.
I've never seen it.
No, that's years ago. I've seen a few reruns. It's not really a show I watched a lot. You watched a lot, Abraham?
I've seen all the movies, and I've seen some of the TV shows as well.
Florence Henderson, she died, 82. She was the mom.
Right.
Mrs. Brady. So yeah. She lived a good long life, 82, but that anytime somebody dies, it's been in you know, showbiz for a long time. A lot of people have some memories growing up watching them as kind of a marker in time.
Yeah, it's was an interesting show. I thought it was pretty funny. Yeah, it's always sad when some of the maybe older, cleaner actors leave, and when we contrast that to what's left for us today.
Well, it's funny.
A little discouraging.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, if you have ever seen reruns of that show, and again, I haven't seen a lot of them, but the problems that they dealt with were all really pretty clean cut, you know,
right. Yeah.
Oh, no one's going to take me to the dance, you know, stuff like that. Now the shows are into all kinds of terrible things.
Yeah, you think of the problems in a show now, it's like, you know, a teen coming out to his parents and things like that, where what are we talking about? Why is this even on television? You can't even safely watch a PG program with a young child anymore without some sort of messaging in it.
Yeah, that's true. You know, the thing I actually remember the most about the Brady Bunch was that commercial they did. A couple years ago, where, you know, they're hungry, so they all look like different people.
Yeah.
And it was a Brady Bunch, and I don't know who that guy is, but he's like a kind of a scary looking actor in a lot of scary movies, I guess. And
yeah.
And he was like, I forget, one of the Bradys. And the other one was one of the other girls. That was a great commercial. It's funny.
Yeah. It's Marsha and Jane, the two girls. My sister, she's had blonde hair, so she always impersonated them. It was really funny. The most iconic moment from the show and the movies is whenever they go to Sears and they're singing and dancing through Sears. And I'm just so happy they can go and shop there for clothes and stuff. So whenever my family would go there, my dad would specifically tell us, like, don't you even dare think about doing that in Sears.
Sears selling clothing, huh? I mean, I guess they do, but I think of them more as appliances. I bought a lawnmower there once.
Yeah. In Canada, it's a lot bigger than Sears in the States here. In Canada, they're like one of the big department stores, or they used to be, at least when I was growing up.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so Florence Henderson of the Brady Bunch dies at 82 years of age. Of course, this next one's happening. Domino's Pizza, ever trying to just be weirder and weirder, has decided that they will train reindeer to deliver pizzas in Japan. It almost seems like it couldn't be true, but it is. Domino's is taking a page out of, a different book, I guess, on efficient winter transportation. The global pizza chain, which has already invested in high-tech delivery methods like autonomous robots, drones, zero-click ordering apps, and satellite tracking to deliver food, is now training reindeer to transport pies. Yes, reindeer. I think that would be disgusting.
Without even a human rider?
I think the humans are going to accompany the reindeer, okay. But I think the pizza would show up smelling like reindeer. Like, I don't know that I want that, unless it's reindeer pizza.
It's bad enough when the Domino's guy comes in his little beat-up Civic and with no suspension, so I can't imagine like it being delivered on either the back of a reindeer, a little sleigh, whatever they want, especially in Japan, of all places. What they would choose to use reindeer. To me, that's puzzling. Like Russia, there's tons of reindeer because they live in Siberia, so that I can understand. But Japan just seems like an odd place to choose to do this.
Well, yeah, they say they're expecting a particularly cold and snowy winter in Japan. The chain is attempting a trial period for performing training exercises in the city of Ishikari, a particularly ice-prone area, to figure out if its reindeer delivery initiative is feasible. The technique will involve insulated pizza containers strapped to the animals' backs. Delivery tests, Domino says, are monitored by animal trainers. The trials are taking place on the grounds of a driving school. So maybe they could do this around the world, you know, if you're over in like Saudi Arabia, it comes on a camel.
Right. Canada could be beavers.
Yeah. Florida, send on an alligator's back. Is that alligator here to kill us or to give us pizza?
Well, I think it depends if you get the pizza off its back fast enough.
Yeah, I guess you could do that in a lot of places. I guess in Oklahoma here, we'd have it delivered on
the back of a bison.
Back of a bison? Yeah, or I was going to say
Thunder mascot's a bison.
Right. Or I was going to think of like the Sooners. Right. Like somebody, you deliver it, wagon. But it would show up earlier than you expected.
That's a great thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right in the back of the wagon there.
Yeah. And then the boomers show up with the pizza as well. And you're like, I already got it. they already sent it. Sorry.
Or it's the Sooners show up so soon afterward. It's not even cooked yet. It's just frozen pizza.
We assumed you'd want cheese sticks. Yes. No. We were wrong on that one. It's our bad. So they're going to try this over in Japan and deliver it on the back of a reindeer. So really strange. I don't know if I'd prefer a drone or a reindeer. Probably a drone, I guess.
Yeah, with the drone though, I have some guy. He was part of the testing of it, and he received it, and he said there was barely a pizza left inside.
It's all messed up.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. It'd be all even like on the back of a reindeer, it'd be bouncing all over the place, and it would just be a box of pizza. Ingredients all mixed together. Like if you ordered a tossed salad, that makes sense.
Right.
You'd get there, be perfect.
Yeah. Well,
you
wouldn't
toss it before. You just put it on
throw
the
it on
back.
The bowl, let the reindeer do his thing. You got a perfect salad when it shows up, but pizza, I don't know.
Yeah, I think we're overlooking the very key parts of how the pizza delivery guy plays into our culture in North America. Number one is they teach every young person patience, and that's a good virtue. And the second one, it gives young people low-paying jobs that they need to have and learn from and everything like that. So I think it's has a lot more benefits beyond whether it gets there fast enough. It's about society, I think. Anyway.
That is a problem. We're taking away a lot of the low-paying, low-skill jobs, and we're trying to replace them with drones and with reindeer. The cars work best, and the cars are driven by people. So let's just make sure people have jobs.
Even yeah, I guess. But that'd be neat to put on your resume that, you know, you'd have to say, yeah, I was a pizza delivery person, but I also drove a team of reindeer. So it's true. A special skill that not everybody has.
Yeah, as long as they don't have the reindeer driving the cars to deliver the pizza, that's fine.
It'll be really interesting to see if they actually do that or not. Speaking of weird things, you guys, I didn't watch a lot of football yesterday, but I watched a part of a game. And they had this Apple commercial on, this new commercial for Apple. And it was Frankenstein, and he comes down to this village, and he starts singing, and they all like Frankenstein then. Anybody see that besides me?
No, I saw a snippet of the Dallas Cowboys-Redskins game. But
yeah, it was a strange commercial. It was long, a couple of minutes at least. And everyone that was there just, we all fell into silence and just watched this thing. I think it's Frankenstein. I'm not real familiar with him, but he's like he's the monster they made with other people, right?
Yeah.
That's the gross story there. Okay. So he's up in like this village by himself or up in this cabin by himself in the woods. And he's got an iPhone, and he gets a package delivered to him, and it's two light bulbs. You know, it's like Christmas lights. And he screws one into one side of his neck and one into the other side. And then he drags his half-dead body down to the local community, and they're all looking at him like, whoa, Frankenstein came out of the mountains. And he starts singing, and then they all are kind of like, ah, we're not sure, but then they like him. And I don't know what that had to do with Apple, and I just don't think that the village would have accepted him. Just because he came down and sang? He's still Frankenstein, though.
Did he sing Hit Me With Your Best Bolt?
He did not. No, it was just a really, like, it was one of those commercials where you sit back and say, but what did that have to do with Apple, though?
Hey, it's a message of unity and inclusion, like the left is always talking about.
Yeah.
So maybe they're trying to give us some kind of messaging there.
Well, I wondered about that, but I'm like, well, who's Frankenstein in this scenario?
Just whoever we think to be a foreign threat, like illegal immigrants or radical Muslims, something like that.
Trump supporters, in the case of Apple, probably.
That could be. I'll have to go and look.
I wouldn't put it past them for trying something like that.
See if there is some ideology they're pushing behind that. It was just a bizarre commercial. Didn't make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least it's not as disturbing as the baby monkey one from the Super Bowl, the Mountain Dew one.
What was that one?
The guys are drinking Mountain Dew, and then this like half baby, half monkey comes up and starts dancing.
Yeah.
That one, like people literally left in disgust. And I mean, people remembered it was Mountain Dew, so maybe that was the point. But,
right.
We literally like changed the channel, turned off the TV. It was just very
cut the cord, buried it. It's such a bad commercial.
Threw it out the window.
The sad part is that's one of people's favorite Super Bowl commercials from last year. So it just shows you how crazy we've gotten that's what people like to see.
Well, you know, I always, when I watch, like, say, the Super Bowl commercials, you know, there's so much money on the line. I always think about the creative team behind it because probably their job depends on whether it passes or it's successful or it fails. When you see a really dumb commercial, I always try to think about the board meeting, you know, where they came in. They're like, I've got the great idea for you. And they're like, oh, yeah, Frankenstein coming out of the cabin. Yeah. Like, you know, you'd have to pitch it and get people to buy into that.
Well, that's the hard part. They don't have the visual there to present yet. They just have the idea. And that would just sound absolutely insane, at least before it was put into a nicely produced video. But even the video sounds pretty insane.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So there might be more to it, like you were saying, Grant, than just Frankenstein with an iPhone. How do you get the iPhone?
Yeah, because otherwise what's the relation between all those things?
Yeah, I did have kind of a similar thought to what you said there, that maybe they were trying to have some bigger message there. But the message I got was that was a really dumb commercial.
Was it an iPhone 7?
I don't know.
Okay. That's my big question. How did he get an iPhone 7?
He has connections. Up there in the cabin.
Yeah.
And there's no way he's got Wi-Fi up there. Like, how is he even? They've got no tower up there.
Unless he has one built into himself somehow.
That's true. So. Maybe he's got one in him.
Yeah.
He's his own hotspot.
Yeah, if he can light up light bulbs from his neck, he must have Wi-Fi somewhere.
Maybe that was the point. Like, he was bringing internet to everybody.
That's true. That would unite people.
Yeah.
So free Wi-Fi, I mean, that's probably a way for world peace. I would think.
You look at your phone, it says scanning Wi-Fi networks and pops up, it says Frankenstein. Oh, yeah, I'll take that one. Strong signal strength.
Great guy up there in the woods. I love that guy.
He must be sleeping. It's not loading very quickly. Key David program and the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, those are coming up this weekend on KPCG, along with the Trumpet Hour Week in Review program. So a lot of good programs there. The Trumpet Daily today is Richard Palmer from Edstone, England. And so make sure you listen for those. Those are coming your way here in a bit on KPCG. There's real problems continuing to go on in Mosul, and Abraham, you have a story about this. Slaughter of innocents continues in battle for Mosul. What's the latest details?
Yes, so this battle for Mosul has been going on for several months. It's an initiative by the Iraqi army, the 2nd Division Special Forces, to retake the city from ISIS. And they thought it would be a quick and easy victory, but it has turned into a war of attrition. And the civilian population inside of Mosul are the ones who are really paying for it. There's about 1.5 million people in the city, and they were advised to stay because if they tried to flee, there was nowhere for them to go. So either they face the attack and get caught in between the two armies, or they flee to an area and they don't know how they live and survive outside the city. So left with a tough choice, most of them stayed. But now they're really paying for it because as ISIS retreats, they're sending mortars into these densely packed civilian areas and just killing hundreds of civilians.
It's so amazing to think about what their life is like today, you know, while we're here talking. And things carry on, you know, pretty normally here in the West for the most part. And but over there, I mean, people are, you know, every day is life and death, the terror, the fear. I remember a couple of years ago where there was that one group of refugees that was running away from ISIS. And there was all the video of them trying to get airlifted out, and they couldn't take everybody. And you know, if you don't get out of there, they're going to kill you, and worse, probably. It's terrifying.
Yeah, the Yazidis.
Right, that's right.
It was that group. They were on top of the mountain.
Yeah.
And they had to leave some behind. And a lot of them became, the women became sex slaves.
Right.
The men were killed. And Mosul is interesting because those are the people ISIS was controlling. That was their one of their strong cities. And so they have a story in there of this from a father. His 18-month-old girl was playing outside, and there was no sign of war around in that area at the moment. And all of a sudden, a mortar hit, and a piece of shrapnel hit her in the head, and she died instantly.
Yeah.
And there's the hundreds of children have been killed. ISIS has been using children as suicide bombers. They strap the kids up with bombs, has them stand in an alley. And when the forces try to move past them, they detonate them.
That's unbelievable.
So they've been doing that. But there's also reports that the Iraqi army have been exacting revenge, killing people who they think are ISIS supporters, mass killings. There was a video of one Iraqi soldier throwing a man underneath a tank because he thought he was an ISIS supporter and things like that.
That's one of the real... tragedy, I guess, or difficulty of any sort of battle. I mean, I think back to World War II and people that were just kind of, you're caught in the crossfire. You get it from one side, and then when the next invading army comes in, you get it from that side because each side thinks you're a spy or a support for the other, and you can't prove that you're not, and so you're getting it every which way, and these people are having the same situation.
Yeah, exactly, and it's interesting to think of Iraq since, because in one generation, so... if you have people living through Desert Storm, then 10 years later, they lived through the fall of Saddam and all the upheaval there. A lot of these people in Mosul, other cities, lived through the American invasion where Sunnis and Shiites are fighting against each other. Americans came into the city and they were fighting against them or supporting them. And then you have ISIS come and take over their cities. And now you have the Iraqi army fighting ISIS. So just in one generation, you have... 5 or 6 different conflicts. Maybe some of them died. Maybe some of them witnessed all of the different conflicts. But as you said, there's no good guys here. Each side takes revenge on the other. Sunnis and Shiites still slaughter each other, even if they're on the same side or if they're liberating a town. And this is the same warfare that we saw 1980s in the Iraq-Iran war there. And so it's not necessarily a surprise, but within the age of the iPhone, we can actually see everything now because people take videos and pictures of it happening.
Right.
And so we have a better idea of what it's like. But for these people in Iraq, there is no hope and there is no savior, really. For some, it's safe because they're allied to a certain group. But for a lot of them, they're innocent or they're caught in the middle. And whoever wins, they do lose in the long run.
Well, and that's why, you know, you think of a guy like Saddam Hussein, you know, a brutal dictator. But at the same time, he brought stability I mean, people still had some brutal things happen, but I suppose you could kind of figure out the system a little bit and try to stay safe. And you see that in a lot of those nations over there where a leader falls maybe or is taken out, and he wasn't a good leader. But what's left in the wake is just a lot more bad leaders coming in and causing even more problems because there's no law at all. Even if it's bad law, there's just nothing there now, and it's chaos.
Yeah, and you're left with no good options because, especially for America, well, you try to have a Western-type democracy in these nations, but there's no history of that. And they're automatically been thinking anti-Western because of the previous leader. And we've seen that in Libya, Iraq, Egypt, any place where we try to establish democracy, it falls apart because that's not how their culture is set up to work. And so you can try to work within their culture, which usually has more success. But then you're also putting your faith into a person who usually has a bad record, who is maybe who has committed atrocities or is an enemy of some people in their country. And so there isn't a good option, but you do have to try to find the best solution for the people in the country and then for your own political the overall political picture in the world. And we just haven't found the right combination. And I'm not sure if there is a right combination, especially when you have nations like Iran who are actively working to subvert any good effort you try to do for the Iraqi people because they want control of Iraq. And that's the ironic thing out of all of this. With the Iraqi 2nd Division, who's the main spearhead of this attack, you have hundreds of Shia militiamen paid by Iran, supported by the U.S., helping them. And so, in effect, you're almost having Iran conquer Iraq. When you're defeating ISIS, which is a goal, what are you left with after the war against ISIS? You have Iran controlling Iraq through proxy, and that's something else you don't want to deal with.
Yeah, one of the great fears about ISIS is that they would take their, what you would consider, I guess, small-scale brutality and take it to a bigger scale with some sort of a dirty bomb or some sort of chemical warfare. And so they want to get rid of them, and they should want to get rid of them, but then who do you have coming in? Iran, who has much more serious designs and capabilities as far as weaponizing and nuclear weapons even, and terrorism as well. They're the masters of it. So it's you get rid of one guy, and the worst guy comes in. It's just a disaster.
Yeah, and that reminds me, another report said that they believe ISIS is stockpiling chemical weapons in Mosul. So in a last-ditch effort, they'll launch chemical attacks against the Iraqi army and the civilians, just to basically kill as many people as possible in a last-ditch effort.
That's the fear, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to lose eventually, but they're going to take everybody with them on their way out.
Yeah, exactly.
Terrible situation for the people over there. So another reason to be, certainly looking forward to Christ's return, but also be thankful to not be there, right?
Yeah.
You know, you think of, like we talked about yesterday, like a Colin Kaepernick crying about everything. Well, go talk to those people and see if it's so bad over here.
Try wearing your Castro t-shirt in Mosul and see if they care about what message you're trying to pass off to people.
Yeah, they're not going to listen. They won't give you time. Terrible situation there. Well, thanks for that update. Grant, you've got one here. This is more of a first world problem now. As they say, this is from the independent.co.uk. More young people contracting old age conditions, including varicose veins due to sedentary lifestyles.
Yeah, so here are maybe some of the people who are sitting around complaining a lot about their issues when there's something going on over in Iraq like that. But it's just talking about here how people in their 20s and 30s are being treated for things like varicose veins, joint problems, lower back pain, things that really are reserved for being treated by or for the elderly, basically. The young people are now needing to be treated for these same things. And it talks about how bad postures and sedentary lifestyles have led to this recent rise. And this is according to 60,000 medical procedures in 2015 that they collected data from these procedures, and they found this disturbing trend.
Yeah, I mean, the human body, it's built to move around and do things. And I mean, at some point, you can't do what it used to do. But if we just stop moving, then that's what happens. We just become, you get these issues, joint pain, joint problems, because we're not using them like we used to. Mm-hmm. I feel like I should be standing up or running in place while we're talking about this. But it is a big issue. I mean, just even like with the phones and that, when you are walking around town or something or anywhere. I mean, I've been at parks where people are there, I think specifically to walk and get exercise, and they're walking but looking down at their phone the whole time. And then that's probably not the best posture even right there. So it's really taken over. It's really transformed an entire generation. And the thing that's interesting is that this generation they're talking about is still pretty young. Like, if you're old now, what does old age look like? That's terrifying to think about.
Yeah, it's almost like you're falling apart completely by the time you get into your 40s or 50s, and much less your 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. People who are alive today who are past 100 have had incredibly good health practices throughout their lives, and you can't really imagine too many people today who are already old living that long at all.
Maybe we all have to become robots. We get robotic joints. There's that commercial where there's that older guy, the grandfather, and his granddaughter comes up and says, "Do you want to dance, Grandpa?" And he like turns on his joints. You know, he's got like and he gets up and starts dancing, and everyone weeps. But
it's a miracle.
But I don't think that tech's there yet. And even if it is, that still wouldn't be great. I'd rather just use my bones and my muscles.
Yeah, there's also a pretty hilarious scene from one of these animated movies from a few years ago where everyone in the entire world is like 400 or 500 pounds, and they're sitting in these pods that can float above the ground. And so they don't move all day. They just float around in these pods, and they can't even do as much as reach 3 feet over to grab their cup.
I've seen that in Target and Walmart.
Exactly.
People are on the carts wheeling themselves around, and I don't think they have any problem other than just extreme weight.
Yeah.
And they're in the cart and they're driving around and they're young. But, you know, it's hard to say because you look older when you're in a condition like that. And, of course, that's an extreme, and they're not necessarily talking about those people. But just in general, they're seeing a lot of these joint problems, pains, and that type of thing. So I guess the solution is move around more, be on your phone less.
Or get a hovering pod to take you everywhere.
Get a hovering pod.
So you never have to move. But the only problem there is being 500 pounds and having to sleep for 16 hours a day.
Right.
So it's not the most enjoyable lifestyle, even if you think it's somewhat luxurious.
Then you find out you're just part of the Matrix. It's all a dream. That's what I think of when I think of, you know, people being kind of just hooked into their machines all the time. But obviously that's a wildly ridiculous movie. But it is interesting. They're saying some of the most common conditions here are now these older conditions are in 36 to 45-year-olds. So, you know,
that's big, comprehensive knee operations, yeah. Epidural injections at the base of the spine to treat back pain. Those are some serious things for 36 to 45-year-olds, even people as young as 25, maybe even younger than that in some cases, because a sedentary lifestyle sets in pretty quickly. That it really does lead to a lot of painful side effects that maybe we're not considering while we're lying around in bed. It talks about even how a lot of people, when they're watching TV, they just want to lie down in bed or slouch on the couch. No one's thinking about locking the spine in place or supporting the spine with their muscles.
Yeah.
And so it just kind of slowly devolves after a while.
Yeah, and even this, like the mention here of these epidural injections at the base of the spine for back pain, that, you know, that's not a solution. That's just a temporary fix. You'd have to change some things about your lifestyle. And that's the thing that's hard to do. It's hard for people to change their lifestyle. I mean, even sometimes if you want to, you know, you're just your job, being in the car for 2 hours in LA. I mean, whatever your life is, in some cases, it's hard to make those changes. But you can do it. You just have to put some effort in.
Yeah, it is a problem with healthcare today where all we do is we treat the effect. We don't treat the cause, which is if you happen to be, you know, 100 pounds overweight, that is going to put a lot of strain on different parts of your body.
Don't insult me to my face like that.
I'm insulting myself.
If, I don't know, let's say you, for example, are 100 pounds overweight. I'm messing with you. I don't think I'm that much over, but I am a little over for sure.
That's just kind of how it goes, I guess. But it also even says that for 16 to 25-year-olds, arthroscopic knee operations are among the five most common procedures for that extremely young age group. That's shocking.
That is shocking to me. That's an amazing thing. And, you know, I would imagine there's a couple of things there. I would think the lifestyle, but I would imagine it's also the nutrition. I mean, what are you eating to have your body start breaking down like that? You know, so I would, because sometimes you see that with athletes where, you know, they're very active, they work out a lot, and then all of a sudden they have a major injury from non-contact. Mm-hmm. And they are tracing some of that back to, they think, the, you know, nutrition over the years. Just right. Didn't eat well. And so your body didn't build the weight. It looked good on the outside, but on the inside, it wasn't built very well.
Right. There are so many different ways to kind of contract a problem like that. And that, in the case of those athletes, they're working their body so hard that a part of their body will explode because maybe they didn't eat right, or they're just putting too much strain on it in general. But I think the opposite could be true, where if you never use your body and you try and go out and run around and play a game of soccer one day, then the same body part explodes because you weren't eating well. So either way, it could be a problem.
There's a couple instances I can think of from over the years of just certain young people, probably in the extreme side of not being active. But I was just surprised what they couldn't do. I remember one instance of tossing a ball to somebody that's probably 15. Here, you know, catch this. And they didn't know what to do. Like they randomly moved their arms so that it hit them.
Right. They start with their arms out wide, and then they try to like somehow clap their hands together from out wide like that.
Yeah.
And somehow trap the ball in between.
Yeah. No, and it wasn't anything intense. It was just like, oh, hey, here you go. You know, just tossing it to them. And I thought, wow, they had never learned how to do that. I have seen a few examples of people that don't know how to run. And again, these are extremes. But, you know, say, go ahead and, you know, run or something, and if it's like in a sporting class or something, and they don't know how to move. And you think, oh, wow, like nobody ever showed you that. And it's like anything in life. Most cases you learn it when you're so young, you never remember not knowing. It's just a natural, like, oh, yeah, just run. But sometimes it don't. And then the last one I can think of is, I think somebody else told me about this, but a person that was really, really scared, they thought they were having a heart attack, a young person, and it was the first time they ever felt their heartbeat fast. They didn't know what it was.
Ooh.
And so that one's kind of hard for me to believe, because I mean, like, even if you went up the stairs or something, but who knows? I mean, I think maybe it was an extreme, like they were playing a long game they hadn't played before, and they thought they were really having problems. It was just their heart was beating fast, which is normal.
Yeah, it's pretty extraordinary how much technology is a governor of our lifestyle, how we custom fit our lives to technology, to what technology wants us to do, rather than the other way around, where we use technology at certain points in our lives to make it better or be more effective at work, whatever it might be.
Yeah, because like what it would be is it ends up controlling us when we're supposed to control it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's your phone doesn't pull you out of bed by the collar and say, you log on and look at me. You know, I hope. Maybe that's a new app. But we do it. We do it to ourselves.
Yeah, growing up, in high school, when I left high school.
Back in the 1800s?
Yes. well, actually, someone saw my cell phone yesterday, and they're like, wow, nice cell phone. I'm like, yeah, I bought it from Abraham Lincoln.
is an old one.
Yeah.
An oldie but a goodie.
But a lot of my friends, they would have like they'd have a job on the side, but they would stay up all night playing video games. They'd eat junk food all night. They'd go to like Walmart at 3 a.m. to stock up. They'd sleep for a few hours and keep playing video games. And that was their life. And they'd work a little bit once in a while. But all the guys would live together in one big house, so they wouldn't have to work a whole lot to pay all the bills and everything.
Sounds like a reality show.
Yeah, it probably should be. And when you go into their house, it's no furniture, just a big like 50-inch TV, Xbox, PS3 at that time and everything. And I mean, I don't want to put them down because I don't know where they are now. But it is at that one moment, like that's how they live, and you can't sustain that. Just what you're putting in your mind, like your mind will be hungry for something else, and you just won't be able to fulfill it on that level. But even your body, just sitting around junk food, all that kind of thing. And there's time and place for that, like to relax and have fun once in a while. But just to live like that all the time, you're not going to last long.
No, and that's, yeah, I had a similar experience with one of my first jobs. I worked with a bunch of guys. They all lived together, same sort of thing, and you'd hear the tales of intrigue the next day. And most of it is either not repeatable or it was about a video game. And so, yeah, you can't sustain that, like you said, very long. And there is that extended adolescence that they talk about today, where people are not growing up as fast as they used to. They're, you know, 30 and they're still acting like they're maybe 15. So we see some of that.
Yeah, a lot of people are blatantly using their parents to live. They just stay in the parents' basement and think that's justified until they're 30 or more, 40, their whole lives. Who knows?
Yeah, get some gumption. Move up to the attic. Can't stay in the basement all the time.
At least have the physical high ground if you don't have the moral high ground.
Yeah. There's not a lot of basements here in Oklahoma, so mm-hmm. they just don't put them in. So
right. Storm shelter.
Live in the storm shelter.
Yeah.
And move into the storm shelter, yeah.
So I helped a colleague who works with me at the school, Imperial Academy. She moved into a new house, and we were helping her clean it out and stuff like that. And we had opened the storm cellar because she never opened it before. She didn't know what was in it.
Scary.
Yeah, so we all of the guys gathered around, and we were, like, prying the lock off, and we're, like, we just flung it open, and there was, like, a radio and a blanket down there. Like, okay, at least that was normal.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we had to open it up. We had no idea what was
family that's been living down there for a long time.
Yeah.
Hadn't seen the sun.
Atlantis.
Yeah. Gold. Just a staircase that keeps going.
Yeah.
All kinds of exciting things down in the storm shelters. A spider. You'd be worried about a spider and a snake down
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Well, good. It's good there's nothing down there except for that. This is a pretty interesting write-up. You can look at the rest of it if you'd like to. It's on theindependent.co.uk. More young people contracting old age conditions, including varicose veins, due to sedentary lifestyles. Couldn't be at the beach like that. Can't play video games and go to the beach all day, or play video games all day and go to the beach. You gotta be out there and be active.
Yeah, I mean, imagine they could with all the little. Well, I saw one commercial where they're advertising a new Pokemon game, and the parents couldn't find the girl because the girl was always hiding playing her game on her Nintendo DS.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what the.
As if that's a good thing.
Yeah, and they're promoting like, oh, you can make your own schedule because you have your DS, you can play wherever you want. It's like,
right.
No, that's not really what you should be doing.
Interesting. Times are changing with the technology, so pretty interesting stuff. Thanks for joining us today on Triple Radio Live. We hope that you have a tremendous weekend, and we look forward to seeing you back here on Monday. You're listening to 101.3 KPCG, online kpcg.fm, live link at thetrumpet.com.
Listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG.